your volume was so incredible coming through the computer, I didn't even realize it wasn't in my headphones.
But it is okay now.
Yeah, I only hear you through the headphones now. Yeah, I had changed it because we had done something with recording, or I watched a movie on the computer and I took it off the Yeti microphone setting. Every time I set up, I really need a little bit more to be... I need to come to the computer 10 minutes earlier. Okay.
Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good morning. This is Candy Minks in Chicago.
And this is Eugene Napick coming to you deep underground in Toronto in the top secret agency studios.
All right, good. Great to hear your voice. It's a beautiful morning. We seem to not have construction right now. We're hoping that I don't jinx it by mentioning it. What's happening with you?
Nothing too exciting this morning. Just went out and did my grocery shopping and got set up to do this special bonus mini episode.
That's right. That's right. Great. Good. I want to say happy Thanksgiving. I could have said that the other day, but yesterday was Thanksgiving. I had a very beautiful, quiet day. And just loved every second of it. And then Stay came home from work. He had to work, unfortunately, but and he served a lot of tourists and people who didn't have anywhere else to go, which was great for him. And then we had fondue last night.
Fondue, that sounds fun.
Mm-hmm. It was fun, and we had every intention of binging on TV, but between the fondue and the glass of wine, we just fell asleep.
Well, that's going to happen. And, yeah. And today we're recording on that curious day known as Black Friday.
Oh, right. Right. I had so much.
We're not out in a mall fighting with somebody over some big ass TV set.
That's right. And you know what? I actually had errands to run today. I had a list of things I had to do. I had to get title to the car. I had to go and get ink. And I realized I can't do that. I can't go to Micro Center today. That's one of the prime locations for a Black Friday shopping.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to be anywhere near there.
No, I can't do that. So I'll try and go tomorrow. Hopefully it'll be quieter tomorrow. That's all I can say. So there's that. And, you know, I forgot to mention, too, I don't want to forget before we go through, is, you know, I had a bit of, I'm amazed I'm awake right now because I had a bit of an emergency last night.
What happened?
I kind of turned in my sleep and I noticed, and I try not to look at my phone because I'm afraid I'll get a notification that will wake me up. Well, I did get a notification and I was already awake, but it really woke me up. It was about a conflict on my book club. So as the moderator, I bolted out of bed and sort of shook my head around and went and read the thread. And there was it was not the end of the world. What it was it's so cute. Eh? We're discussing Shakespeare, and I'm telling you, sometimes people say things that they make other people uncomfortable. Curiously enough, we're talking about these two characters who are having a little bit of a battle between themselves, which is not uncommon in Shakespeare. And it's usually pretty funny and mysterious because you can't tell. What are you saying? You have to go research what velvet meant or something. You know, French velvet. What does that mean? Because you don't know what the insult is until right. You research what what they were saying. Anyway, we had one of the people participating had compared it to Michelle and Romy's high school reunion, which is a film that's about 20 years old. It is actually, I think, 20 years old. No, about 22 years old now. And at one point, the two girls get into a fight about which one is Mary and which one is Rhoda. From the Mary Tyler Moore Show. And I immediately knew why he had mentioned that. And another person immediately knew why. And I put some links on the thing and we'd laughed about it. We're talking about it because, you know, for women, is there a downside to being a Mary or a Rhoda? I don't know if you would perceive that difference, Eugene.
I'm not sure.
Right. Well, I think the superficial, stereotypical part that Romy and Michelle are fighting about is that Mary's kind of classically pretty. Whereas Rhoda, one of the characters goes, you can't be Mary, you're Jewish. And so there's this feeling of like that Mary has the better job. Yeah, it's very weird, but it's also very honest with, you know, the idea of an alpha female or an alpha male and who is that in a relationship. It's totally superficial. However, in the film, it's hilarious and it works out. And I think they go to the end of the movie still feeling that one of them, they're both Mary, because they are perceiving that one is a second-rate character, which is not true because Rhoda had an amazing decorating job in New York City was very gorgeous, and she had the kind of wit that was really, really intelligent. So a couple of people had said that, yeah, they preferred Rhoda anyway, one woman on her book club. So I get in there, and there's a fellow that came on, and he said that no matter how much the attempted explanation of he couldn't understand why we were talking about Romy and Michelle all of a sudden in this Shakespeare discussion. But these are freewheeling discussions. It's not school, it's not classrooms, it's regular people talking about. Sometimes we do talk about history in Shakespeare, and sometimes we find other reasons in pop culture to find it related. And he had said something along the line of the attempted explanation had not provided enlightenment to him on this matter. And I went on there and I went, oh, it is a little rough. That's really not fair. And I had to say that we're not here to enlighten anybody. And I don't know. The thing is, I didn't want to make him feel bad either, but I did have to say, we can't, we gotta, we're, the, nobody here is a tone police. We're going to try and be, as sensitive as possible while having fun. Anyway, that was my emergency at 2 in the morning. Then I couldn't fall asleep for about an hour.
This is what happens when you put a bunch of Shakespeare fans together online.
Yeah, it's really a lot of fun. But also, I didn't want anyone's feelings to be hurt, and it had to, I felt like it had to be addressed because someone had written me and said, this guy's gone too far and he's insulted us. So, it's ironic, of course, or is it literal? Because two words we probably should never use, ironic or literal, because most of us don't know how to use them, right?
Literally.
And literally and ironically. So there we are having a status battle in the argument about a status battle. So,
On that note, I'm going to move on to some reader mail.
okay, great.
First, I'd like to read a text that was sent to you by Trisha. Trisha says, "I love the podcast. Number one fan." Yeah. "I'm 20 minutes into Snowpiercer, and I'm dying to have you here to discuss. Also, you spoiled nothing. This movie has been made better by your and Eugene's review. I made my sis-in-law watch because of my excitement caused by you both. We're inspired by you. Seriously, it's not for nothing. You both are inspiring something great with your podcast." Well, thank you so much, Trisha. And I'm glad you're watching Snowpiercer because today we're going to be talking in a few minutes about another of Bong Joon-ho's films, Mother.
That's right. And thank you for telling us that, I love to try and get people to watch movies. And how do you do it? Well, this is one way, is telling them that you like it and then trying to figure out ways. This brings up a topic. How do we talk about film without giving away plot? Which sometimes, we've gone hog wild and we've given away all the plot on some of these films. And normally I like to talk about movies and really inspire people to watch them without giving away what happens. And I'm pretty successful in doing that, I would say, on my blog or on Facebook. But we've gone a little extra mile of giving away actual
Well,
details in some of these
I'm
reviews.
not so worried about that. In some films, the plot isn't really the issue. And if you try to talk about the film without talking about any of the plot, it becomes very difficult to get at the issues.
That's true.
So I'm not too concerned. I mean, just like if you're in your Shakespeare group, well,
Yes.
if you're going to talk about Hamlet, everybody knows the plot.
But you know what? We have a no spoiler. We read one act per play and we try not to talk about the second act in the first act. You know what I mean? We do try to do things to try, and it's a false premise. We are trying to, we know what happens with Hamlet. That one's very difficult. Measure for Measure, right now, most of us have not read it. So we do try to not have a spoiler alert. You're right, though. It's a kind of a false suspense of disbelief. And we hope to not reveal things as we go along and keep it separated onto Act One, Two, Three. However, it doesn't spoil a conversation to talk about Hamlet. You're right. Knowing what happens.
So we have another piece of reader mail. This one came to
Oh.
the agency podcast email, which is theagency.podcast@gmail.com. Please
Good
keep
plug.
those emails coming. We love getting mail. It's our favorite thing is getting mail.
It is. It is. We love it.
We'd love to get some hard copy mail too. Some
Oh.
we have that box just waiting for mail to arrive.
That's right.
So this this note is from Jenny. She's a regular listener, and we have mentioned Jenny in one of the in one of the podcasts. And here's what she has to say. Hi, you two. I wanted to let you know I got a kick out of hearing my name mentioned in your podcast. And even funnier, I had my noise-canceling headphones on listening on the plane during a rocky descent at the moment my name was being mentioned for listening while traveling. And I had to say, it kept me calm during the bouncing and shaking of the plane. I do get ideas while listening and have every intention of commenting later. Then, when later happens, I can't remember what I was going to say. Sorry, I'll take notes next time. Love, Jenny. Well, Jenny, yeah. I'm glad you had your noise-canceling headphones on, because in some of our recent podcasts, we've been making plenty of noise.
That's true. Very true. Oh, my gosh. That's great. Thank you, Jenny, for letting us know that you enjoy it. And I like that it's part of a caregiving. That's pretty cool. It's like self-care, bitches. I love it. I love it. I have something else I want to add. And again, thank you for both of you giving us some encouragement. It does help. Sometimes I wonder, are we doing anything here? Are we having a good time?
Is there somebody out there listening?
Is there somebody out there? That's right. Listen, this belongs in the I forgot to mention category. I wanted to mention that Matthew Rhys is in It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, the Mr. Rogers movie with Tom Hanks. And he's fantastic. And he's from The Americans,
which we discussed at some length in some of our early podcasts.
That's right. And which we may discuss again, because I'm still working towards the last season.
I'm sure we'll be talking about the last season of The Americans when that comes around on the guitar.
Right. And then the director of Ford versus Ferrari, which I watched the other day, also directed Girl Interrupted and 310 to Yuma, which I love.
310 to Yuma. I love that movie.
Yeah, love it too.
Both
versions. Yeah. And I thought that's a reason to go to the film, because I know he's really good at building up a story. And both his parents are painters based in New York City, Robert and Sylvia Mangold, which might be very contemporary painters of interest in the 70s and 80s. And I think they're both still alive, so it might be worth checking them out. What a family. And the other brother is a musician. How these families are so incredibly talented is a mystery to me. That's amazing.
That's fantastic. Maybe if we can find some pictures of their paintings, we can post something on our Facebook page.
Great idea. Great idea.
Hey, listeners out there, if you would like us to have a discussion about the two versions of 310 to Yuma, we could sit down and watch them both back to back and have some discussion about that. I think that would be interesting. If you think it would be interesting, let us know and we'll do it.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I love that idea. In a few days. I can't do it today. I can't do it this weekend because I'm writing something, but definitely next week, I'm sure I could. I love that idea. Great idea. How would it feel to watch them in the same moment, too?
It would be very, very interesting. I've not done that before, watch them one after the other. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, me too.
So, as regular listeners know, we've become really enthusiastic about a South Korean director named Bong Joon-ho. And I'm going to say that he may just be one of my favorite all-time directors. And I've only seen a few of his movies and was really only introduced to his work when I saw Parasite out at the theater recently. So it's a director. He's a director that I've just recently been introduced to, and he's just blowing me away. So we've talked about Parasite, we've talked about Snowpiercer, we've talked about The Host, his monster movie, today we're going to talk about his 2010 film, which is called Mother. It's in Korean with English subtitles.
That's right, and I just want to say there was a Facebook meme that was it was saying, I want two tickets to Parasite. So you're not wrong when you said Paradise. Do you know the song? Yeah. I'll take two tickets to Parasite.
It was probably somewhere in my subconscious. That's why
it must be. That's right. You probably saw it on Facebook. You know, I have very mixed feelings about this film. Not that I don't love it. I really, really love it. But the idea of recommending anybody watch it was a lot more painful than I expected going into it.
Oh, it's a painful, dark movie for sure.
It is. And as the movie begins, we're getting to know these characters. And it's very interesting. The lighting is fascinating. Immediately we see the mother's love of her son, and she even risks cutting her hand. She's an herbalist, an acupuncturist, and a healer. And we see her in her delightful shop that's very musty and dusty and tons of plants, and she's using a guillotine, what you might call a paper cutter in the United States,
Oh, yes, to cut herbs.
to cut herbs. And she's doing it and not watching. She's so concerned about the safety of her son that she almost, I think she does even cut her finger a bit. So we see right away that that's the kind of person she is.
Yes,
She's extremely
that
compelling
isn't
on
actually
camera.
how the film opens. It opens with a dance sequence
Yes, it
in a
does. Yes, it
field. It's
does.
a really strange, poetic dance sequence, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And what happens is that you actually find out where that dance sequence happens.
That's
It's out
right.
of context. And it has first of all, you're like, well, this is kind of charming and eccentric. And the color was incredible. She has purple, fauve colors on, right? And then that golden field, it's really stunning looking. And she's right up in the, she's actually off center in the field of the camera, I believe, which later kind of hit me. Oh, well, no wonder. Right, she's not exactly in the middle of the screen, I don't think, which I think has some significance. So what happens is,
Why don't
oh,
we
go
introduce the
ahead.
characters?
Yeah, go ahead, please do. You're better at that than I am, I think.
Okay. Well, first there's Haija, who is a single mom, and she's an herbalist and does acupuncture, but she does acupuncture illegally. I believe she gets fined for doing acupuncture because she doesn't have a license to do it.
I think you're right.
And her son, Dojun, I think it's pronounced that way. I could have the pronunciation wrong because I was, of course, reading the subtitles more than paying attention to what I was listening to. I think that's the nature of trying to watch a film, hearing the tone while you're reading. It could be a little bit tricky, but I don't find it difficult in these films. Her son, Dojun, is 27 years old. He's an odd boy, isn't he?
Yes, he has a learning difficulties.
He realizes things after the fact, sometimes quite a long time after the fact. He's very naive. He behaves in ways that some people might call foolish.
You know, there's something, there's a lot of slapstick, subtle slapstick. It's not like crazy like the Three Stooges, but there's a lot of Charlie Chaplin body work that happens in all of his movies. I'm gonna probably venture to say the ones I've seen all have someone slipping and falling, or tripping or something, some kind of ineptness, which I think is pretty interesting.
Yes, and there's another character, Jintai, who really facilitates the slapstick, I think. He's kind of a troublemaker, and he's a friend of Dojun's, and he's kind of an enabler of bad behavior for Dojun. Would you say that?
Yes, I would. And I think that it comes from the fact that, speaking of status battles, that he's kind of a control freak over this kid because he's got learning difficulties. Sorry about that. And he also, when you say that he recovers things, it's funny because this boy, the son, he remembers things later. He's got a delayed memory. And memory has a lot of haunting in this film. It has a lot to do with memory, I think. And how we perceive things. Like I would say right away in the first half hour, all of a sudden something happens in the plot. And I was like, there's a murder happened. And I went, well, I've just been watching this. I think I saw something and I should know who the murderer is. So I immediately, while watching the film, was concerned about my memory of details.
Right.
Whereas I was just watching the film. Here, you tell me what's happening. All of a sudden I realized I have to be part of this.
So I think we could talk about the basic premise of the movie without giving away the plot. There is a murder, and what we see is there's a young woman. She's walking. It's nighttime. She disappears, I guess, in an alleyway or something like that. And she's found dead, and Dojun is accused of murdering her.
The learning difficulty son, yes.
That's right. And so the police show up, and he gets arrested. They get a lawyer, and the lawyer's useless. The police don't seem to care. They seem really hapless and apathetic, and certainly they aren't going to help the mother of this son.
No.
Who has talked to her boy, and he says he didn't do it, and she believes him, and she's not going to let this rest.
Right. She becomes a bit of a sleuth, actually.
That's right.
And it's you're really behind her because she's actually really good at being a detective. She finds missing evidence. She sneaks into buildings. She does it illegally, but she finds all kinds of information about who the murderer might be and takes it to the police. And here again, we have that theme that's in two or three other of his movies of the people that are supposed to be civil servants being ineffectual and that's not right. helpful.
They don't help, yeah. So they have to... The regular people have to do it themselves. In this
That's
case,
right.
the mother. And she's like a super mother. And the actress, I read yes. that the actress is someone very well known in Korean film for playing strong mothers.
Well, that's funny.
Yeah.
She's very compelling on screen. The camera loves her.
She really is.
And now this goes right back to John Hurt said that Jun-ho was... a Hitchcockian style director, and he's nailed it because
this film just screams Hitchcock through this
it
film.
Really does. It really does. And then of course Mother, you're going to think of Psycho.
Yes, it I mean that's nothing... the first thing I thought of is Norman and Mrs. Bates, right,
which this is not a horror film, so that's I want to be clear on that. It's not really like that, but there's definitely the sense of see now you had it too, so that confirms it
me
because I was pretty much like, oh my god, he is riffing on this and the bungling law enforcement, so yes. that is a very and Hitchcock theme
as,
too.
As well, the way a lot of the shots were framed
Absolutely.
Screaming Hitchcock. I mean, clearly Bong Joon-ho has looked at Hitchcock films very carefully.
Absolutely.
And the way he's chosen to stylize his characters and frame them in the action is certainly highly influenced by Hitchcock. And the obvious comparison to Psycho is, I think it's really apparent in this film.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, it's funny, too, because I didn't feel any sleight of hand. And that's why it bothered me that the weight of memory was put on me, because sometimes you'll sense a movie is tricking you to keep you in mystery. This seemed like I should know what happened. And the mother talks about memory, and we've got her son who has trouble remembering. And of course, memory and accounts and testimony is all based on what did you see and what did you remember?
That's right. And what we know is
excuse me,
the mother believes her son could not have done it. He wouldn't hurt a fly.
Right.
But we see,
I believe it too.
But we see some evidence that when the son is insulted about his disability, mm-hmm. it's pretty blunt. He's called a retard.
Yes, he's bullied by other people, and he grew up being bullied.
And that makes him very angry. So we see
yes.
that he does have a temper.
Yes.
We also see he's highly influenced by the behavior of Jin Tae.
Mm-hmm.
And
who,
we know
and
that
also,
Jin Tae is certainly a troublemaker. And as well, we don't see the murder.
No, we don't see the murder. We run into, you know, as the movie progresses, it starts to get that the language and the way people treat each other, I found it really super depressing and disturbing. You know, name calling her bitch over and over again. And the dismissal by the cops, it was very frustrating. However, what happens is I had this sympathy for the mother. And after a while, my sympathy started to wane. I think this is where we're going to get into giving away the story.
That's right. And I don't know if we should do that or not.
All right. Okay. Sounds good.
I'm going to leave that to you. I'm not going to outline the plot further, but if you want to, go for it.
No, I just think that I would be very, I really recommend this movie, but I do not recommend this movie because I felt so sad and so disheartened because you, when we love someone, we can't see who they are sometimes.
That's
and
right.
This is giving away the plot, obviously.
And the mother will do anything for her son.
And I immediately felt like I wished I hadn't seen the movie, which is a literal feeling of what memory is and how we are responsible for it and my responsibility for recommending it. There's a couple of other films I wouldn't recommend to other people. I think I mentioned The Lighthouse. I
Yes.
did get some feedback from my family that as soon as my review last week, they immediately wanted to see the movie. And I just thought that was so funny because I was like, I don't know, I can't say to watch it because it's, I forgot to also say it's in a square frame and it's black and white. There are things about it that are so disturbing that I don't know if I want to be the one to say, go see it. The other movie that's haunted me all these years, one of my very, very favorite films, is called Irreversible. And it's one of the greatest movies I've ever seen, and I cannot recommend anybody watch it. It is so painful. And I'm going to put Mother up there on a of pain on a scale of 8 out of 10
Sure.
for sure.
Hey, speaking of
Yep.
disturbing, let's talk a
Yes.
little bit about the relationship between the mother, Hija, and Do-jun. They sleep in the same bed,
True.
and it isn't clear what the nature of their relationship is. Is it
No, it's not.
incestuous? I don't know. There's one scene where it looks like he cuddles up with his mom in bed and has his hand on her breast.
I missed that completely and I'm in shock. But I guess I would have said, yes, it's hinted at, the neighbors hint at it. I would have said no, but I'm not sure. I
And
really am
I'm
not
not
sure.
sure as well. You
Yeah.
know, we know that that relationship is deep and it's peculiar. It's beyond we know people will do anything for their children.
Well, I think that's the part that's also hard is that, if you are a parent, this is a very confrontational film. I mentioned that I had a bank robber uncle that I did not find out about for years. And I looked back, and when I found out, I think my grandmother was still alive, but all I could think about was how did that happen? I never talked to her about it because it was like a dirty secret in my family. Actually, she may have passed away when my father told me. I really can't. No, she would have been still alive. And the thing was, I could see a part of my grandmother's psychology influencing her sons to do whatever it took to be successful. And it's right in the line of The Godfather, or in that family thing. It's like it's self-created business. We live in a culture that's superficial and capitalistic and materialistic, and no wonder people will do things for possessions. Unless they fight to be not that way or are raised or have different belief systems or contest themselves. So,
Sure.
in that way, there's the, of course, the mother is culpable.
You
Of
know what it
course.
reminded me of? There was a real situation that happened here some months ago, and I was driving somewhere in my car listening to talk radio. I have a bit of a talk radio addiction. It doesn't matter how bad the talk radio is, I can't
Okay.
stop listening to it. It doesn't even matter if I disagree a lot with the commentators, which is usually the case on talk radio. It doesn't matter that the commercials, there's so many of them and they're really annoying. I'm kind of a talk radio junkie.
Yeah, I
And
think it's cute that you're apologetic about it. I mean, you're talking to the person who watches so much. Yeah, I may read Shakespeare, but I watch Real Housewives of Orange County.
well, there you go.
So,
So
yeah.
I was driving somewhere and I was listening to talk radio and they were talking about a situation in which a boy, a 15-year-old boy, had sent, I don't remember the exact situation, but basically had sent a threatening note somewhere saying, I'm gonna kill you and everybody else with my father's guns.
Right.
And somebody called the cops. And the cops tracked down the kid and you know, special forces showed up at the door and said, "Where's your kid?" And she said, "What do you mean? He's just a boy. He wouldn't hurt a fly."
Oh,
And it was like
yeah.
exactly the same situation. And she came on the radio station and she was talking about how, "Oh, he's just a boy. He's just playing. It's what boys do. And he didn't mean anything by it." But what he did was he threatened people. And if the authorities don't do something about it when they know that somebody's made a threat, well, I mean, you're living in a country that has a recent history of many mass shootings.
Right. How old was the kid?
15.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really obviously a troubled time period for a lot of kids. I believe the mom was earnest in it, and she's the one who might be in denial. That kid needs help. Do I want him to be arrested? Do I want him to be arrested? No. No, I don't. I want him to have a supportive community.
We certainly don't want him to take his father's gun or
No,
guns, and the mother had confirmed that there were guns.
correct.
And we don't want him to go shoot up a bunch of people. So
No,
we
no,
definitely
no,
want to make
no.
sure that it's taken seriously and the kid is stopped. But yeah, it seems to me to be a mental health issue.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. And that's where, that's where sometimes when we love someone, we're not the honest person to be there. We're not able to, we're in denial. We're in denial because that's part of life. And we don't want to believe that. I keep struggling with this idea that not Nelson, Malcolm Gladwell, and I think we talked about it last week, he's got this idea that we have a default mode that does not allow us to think anyone could be bad in general, not just with our families. When someone does something in the workplace, we go, well, they were just tired or they needed a coffee. And that is all very well and good unless it gets malignant.
That's right.
And then we're still saying those denials. So that's not good. I watched Memories of Murder also by Jun Ho, Bong Jun Ho, yesterday. And
I've been trying to
another
get a copy of it.
fantastic.
I haven't been able to.
I know. I was lucky. I was able to find it on YouTube. And I tried to send you the link, but it didn't work in
That's
Canada.
right.
And you know what has a lot of similar concerns? I believe it might even have it had a similar field in it at the beginning of the movie Mother. And again, it deals with these, it's called Memories of Murder, I think, and it deals with these bungling police officers. They are just annoying as hell, police violence. They all take, even the cop that doesn't believe in beating people, at some point his frustration with his job and not being able to find a murderer, he starts beating on people. So it was very interesting to show that that became a job fatigue situation, I would say, of not being able to solve a crime produced that feeling. And I'm not sure I've heard anyone frame it that way. This film is from 2003, and it was absolutely incredible. I would watch it again and again. I
I've
loved
heard it's
every
very,
minute
very
of it.
good. I'd like to ask our listeners if there's anyone out there who has a copy of that on DVD and would like to lend it to me.
Right.
I would be very grateful. I would like to discuss that with Candy. I haven't been able to. I've tried to buy a copy, and copies are available for like $176 or something. I was
No,
able to
that's too much.
find it on YouTube here. But no English subtitles, so my Korean is rusty, or non-existent.
Right. Hey, is there a subtitle track you can get for it? Sometimes you can download an app that is a subtitle app. I don't know, maybe I'm hallucinating. That I might have just invented something. I don't know, but
Maybe
I think there is a subtitle track you can
an agency
apply
podcast
to.
simultaneous translator. That's what we need. Just
I
like the one they had in Snowpiercer. You know, it was just
know.
like
Well,
this round
oh
thing, and you put
yeah.
it near, and there was simultaneous translation.
That's
Or
right.
the UN has something too, but they wear headphones.
Right.
We
I mean,
need
I'm
that.
wondering.
The agency needs a simultaneous translator.
Right,
Let's make it
right.
be so.
Right. Well, I'll look at a couple of there's one or two stores here that might have a copy. I think that would be for rent only though. That's all I can think of. And I'm pretty sure they would have it if they're still in business because video stores are having trouble. Although I heard maybe there's a comeback to video stores.
Oh, that's
I don't
interesting.
know. That is interesting. Yeah, great filmmaker. I mean, I'm bordering on writing him a fan letter. I'm just so, how did I live my whole life without watching his movies?
Is he on Twitter?
I don't know.
Because if he is, you've got to tweet him and tell him that we've been talking about his movies on our
Well,
podcast.
yeah, I guess so. I guess I could try. Yeah, I could try.
So this is a sort of recommendation, this film. In general,
Yes.
Bong Joon-ho, he's a great filmmaker. I think he's really just getting into his prime now as a filmmaker. And, Parasite is one of the best films
I think it's going to win Oscar for Best
Well, it
Picture.
should. I think it's the film of the year, and it's in my top 10 list of all-time films. I
Wow,
really, really
that's
love that film.
I think
So
it's gonna it's gonna be a tie between that and Mr. Rogers' film. I mean, that is a stunning, amazing film. Both very, very important and needed at this time. Sorry, I
this isn't
interrupted.
an unconditional recommendation of Mother, though. It is a disturbing film. It's one of the things that Bong Joon-ho does very successfully is he'll operate within a genre and then he proceeds to immediately start to subvert the genre.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
It's
And he twists and turns and he changes the mood of the film
yes.
during the film.
He's very, very good at that, and he's very good at manipulating the emotions of the viewer by doing that, by making those sharp turns along the way. Very powerful filmmaker, really brilliant. See some of his films for sure.
Yes. Great.
So that's our
I
mini
agree.
episode.
All right.
We've
Okay,
talked
good.
about Mother, 2010 film, Bong Joon-ho. And we'll be back at you
Yes, I wanted to add
next
one
week.
quick thing,
Okay, go
Eugene, is
ahead.
that one of the things I like about the mini episode is we can give people the option to not listen to it. Because if they want to see the movie first, they can see that we put the title that we're going to talk about Mother and, spoiler alert, almost by that. Although I don't think we've spoiled it at all, I really don't think it's possible because of the psychology of the film. I just want to add that in closing.
Well, yes, and as well, we actually managed to not spill the beans this time.
That's right. That's true. We did. Because I've forgotten the movie because it's all about memory and I've blocked it out. All right, 10 out of 10 for me. And
Okay,
we'll see
you'll
you
notice
in
I
we'll
haven't
see you.
added any numbers. You always
I
give me
know.
numerical
I know.
measurement to the films.
I know.
I have difficulty doing that. I've never added
I
numbers,
know.
although I add superlatives instead.
That's much more entertaining.
Yeah, even on my
Okay.
blog, I'll say, "27th Street recommended."
Yes.
When I used to have the Mr. Anchovy blog, I used to say that I would rate things like, three dump trucks full of anchovies. That
And
kind
is
of
that out
thing.
of 10 or out of 5?
Well, I never really defined it.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
So that's it for today. We'll be back at you next week.
All right. Thank you for listening. See you
Bye.
next week. Bye.